Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. You guys can find me on Twitter at Davis Maddock. In this episode of the show, I'm bringing on my buddy, again, Rich Rebar. We're making some picks against the spread. Was a pretty good week for me last week, though. Rich, I feel as if Ryan Tannehill, and more specifically, that kicker, or the guy that lined up offside on the Kansas City Chiefs field goal kick, I feel like money was stolen from me. Like, it just feels unjust that I didn't win the Chiefs game.
That whole game was wild. The last 4 minutes of that game, you know, the Titans had that 4th and 15 where Tannehill throws that beautiful ball to A.J. Brown and he doesn't catch it. And you're like, all right, this game is over. The Chiefs are lining up a field goal to go up 8 and they botch the snap, you know, and they don't get that kickoff. That would have put them up 8 and then, you know, the Titans go down and score. They go up. The Chiefs have to work all the way down the field, and they get that field goal block. It was just quite a turn of events that last 4 minutes. I think a lot of people thought that ended a lot of survivor pools. Like, they were a hot pick in survivor pools with the Saints.
There were three teams that got the Colts lost, the Saints lost, and the Chiefs lost. Like, I got an email from like this survivor website that I'm signed up for that 86% of entries in like the big pools were eliminated last week.
Yeah, it was a rough 86%.
That's wild. That's crazy. Yeah. That's like worse than the Bills week last year when they beat the Vikings. Like, that, it's like even worse than that week.
Well, because that was a one-off. This was three teams.
Three of them. Yeah. So that was how things went. I got eliminated in my survivor pool last week. I thought me and Sammy Reed do one together, and we thought we were sharp, swerving from the Colts to take the Saints, and of course they were just non-competitive.
Yeah, that was quite a surprise as well. I mean, I struggled to put a lot of merit on what the Falcons did last week, even though they changed everything schematically, defensively. You know, Dan Quinn gave everything to Jeff Albrick, and they were the worst team in the NFL, you know, coming into that game against, you know, touchdown rate per drive, scoring rate per drive, and third down rate, and they were electric in all three phases. So I just have to believe a lot of that was just really Saints, you know, Saints egg too as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that's what they do. All right, so as people know, the format of the show, we're just going to come in here. We are going to pick 5 games against the spread. We're going to go from our least confident to our most confident, but all lines that we feel pretty good about. And Rich, I'll give the floor to you first, man.
Yeah, I you keep having me on because I think both times I've been on.
Yeah, you crush when you come on. You're just crushing when you come on.
So we're going to try to keep this going here. You know, it's weird. We were talking a little bit just before we got on for just a couple of minutes and how, you know, I was doing a tally and like I've been my worst just when I bet favorites. And I actually have a couple favorites here that I'm going to give out. But, you know, dogs have been crushing. Like we said, it's the year of the dog. They're 85-60-3 against the line. So I'm going to start with a dog here. I don't feel great about it because it's attached to a horrible quarterback. But I feel like the line is way too high. And it's the Bears getting 6.5. In LA, it's pretty gross.
This line for me, I've been looking at this all week, and I'm like, there's got to be one side of this is the very sharp side, and I can't figure out which one is which.
So my whole mantra with Jared Goff this year has literally in fantasy in the worksheet when I write him every week is literally a lot of people talk about his home road away splits, but no, I just talk about his pressure rate stats versus not getting pressure. And is he facing a team that can generate pressure? Because we know that they've already had offensive line injuries. They lost Saffold. You know, they lost their Jason Noteboom already for the season. Last week they come back and they lose Rob Havenstein. He's out this week. They lose their center, Brian Allen. They don't have him this week. They're facing a team that's 6th in the NFL in pressure rate. So Jared Goff so far has faced 5 teams that are in the top half of the league in pressure rate. In those games, the Rams have scored a touchdown on 9 of 59 possessions, just 15.3%. Which is terrible.
That seems bad. Is that good or bad? Can you confirm either way?
It is horrendous. And then you look at his individual stats. He's averages 6.2 yards per pass attempt in those games. Pretty rough. You know, last year, I mean, you can't take what happened in this meeting that they had last year, but he was so bad in this Bears game last year. So was Trubisky, but you know, the Bears beat him 15-6 when these teams played last year. Both quarterbacks were horrendous. Goff threw 4 interceptions. I just look at their offensive line, though. No Rob Havency, no Brian Allen. They had to play Austin Corbett last week. These teams that get high pressure rates and can pressure the quarterback without really blitzing against the Rams. And the Rams can't run the football on anybody. Like, it's just dead. So, I mean, they can't get the ball downfield to their playmakers. They can't run the football. I think that just 6.5 is too high. I wouldn't pick the Bears to win outright, although I may do like a quarter unit on the money line if I was betting this too, just kind of, you know, as a hedge as well.
Right. Yeah, just a little. Right now, yeah, right? Just like you're always mad if you bet the dog team and mm-hmm. not only do they cover but they win and you're like, oh well, this could have been like my best bet of the week, and instead, you know, I'm hitting 50-50.
Yeah, this is one I probably would go like 0.75 units on the line, and then a quarter unit on the money line as well for the Bears. But we're still, I mean, Trubisky's been so bad this year. He's also hard to place faith in, but I just feel like this line is way too high. If you look at those teams that I mentioned that Goff and the Rams have played, I mean, they beat the Saints outright by 18, but that was a game that was close for a while. And that was a game Breeze got hurt. If that Cameron Jordan fumble doesn't get called back, I mean, the Saints have the lead at that point in that game as well. But their other two wins against those teams are wins by 2 points and wins by 7 points. So, I mean, I feel like this game's going to be really tight either way. So, I mean, 6.5 just feels like I'm going to take those. And feel like that's going to be worthwhile here. But that's why it's lower. It's my fifth most confident.
Right, exactly. Because, like, I think you're probably right that the Bears are the sharp side. But, like, I don't want to be in a position where, okay, I need Trubisky to at least get a field goal out of this drive. And then you're just, like, sitting there watching it like, oh, they're never scoring here.
That's
the situation. So my number five pick doesn't really have much to do. If money line, I feel 100% confident in this. But right now, and we're recording this on Friday afternoon, so some books probably don't even have this line up. The book that I'm looking at does have Dallas -7 up over Detroit. And if I had assurances that that Kellen Moore was going to get to call all the plays in this game and Jason Garrett wasn't going to take over at any point, I probably would bet this up to like 8 or 8.5 points. But Dallas is the number one in the NFL yards per play offense. No team, not the Chiefs, not the Patriots, not the Ravens. No one has been better yards per play than Dallas. And Dak Prescott leads the NFL in QBR. Dallas leads the NFL in expected points on offense. So I don't really think they're going to run into a ton of resistance against Detroit. And really, I mean, I'll say this. Jeff Kirstel is starting this game. I think I would bet this to 10. Dallas, they are just so much better. And the only reason it's 7 is because they're on the road.
Yeah, I like this one a lot because outside of the Jets games, the Cowboys have really crushed the teams they're supposed to crush. I mean, you know, they beat the Giants by 18 and 19. They beat the Redskins by 10. They beat the Dolphins by 25. These games were their favorite outside of the Jets game. Like, they're winning, they're smoking these teams that they're clearly superior than outside of that one, you know, hiccup. So, I mean, and that was, you know, when they kind of didn't have both starting tackles in that game either. Dak splits, you know, kind of without Tyron Smith have kind of been weird. They get a lot of pressure. Amari goes down in the beginning of the game. Not to make excuses, but, I mean, the Cowboys have really crushed a lot of these opponents they should crush. So I like this a lot, too.
Their mistakes have been almost all defensive. Fourth down play calling play calling has been real. I can't even discuss that third and second draw play.
That final drive last week, I mean, they marched all the way down the field, and I was someone that had bet Dallas -3, so I was hoping to get a push out of that situation at that whole time. I was like, just salvage me this push, and they go all the way down the field, and they're cruising, and then just get to, you know, second down and 3 after like a 7-yard gain. They go run, and then pass to Zeke, and it's like, oh, my God, what is going on?
Dude, it was so horrible. Yeah, just, I mean, that – The pass to Zeke. I actually think the pass to Zeke was worse than the third and second run. You have Amari Cooper on your team.
He wasn't the first read, so I can't like go crazy about it, but like it's a bummer, man.
Yeah. All right, so that is my number five. It's always hazardous to wager on a team that you emotionally care about, but Dallas is actually finally a good enough team. Like, they're actually finally good enough that I can like bet on them and feel like it's not just coming from a pure place of homerism. What is your number four selection?
So my number four is one of these favorites, and it's another one where I think that the correction has swung too far, and yeah. It's gonna be the Bills, you know, laying six.
Oh, I have the other side.
Oh, do you? Yeah. So Miami's been the best bet. They've covered 5 weeks in a row. It's the longest active streak. But when you look at these lines, this is the second lowest line Miami's had in a game all season. It matches the Washington line that they had at 6 points, and the Jets were giving three, and they outright beat them. But all of these other lines are double digits. When these teams played with the Bills coming out of Iowa, it was 17 points, which is pretty wild that I kind of think back on. Now it's down to six. The Bills are one of these teams too. I think that there was a circle there where they were overrated. Now I think here they're probably they should be more than a touchdown, because the Dolphins only close games when you look at it. Jets, Washington, Colts. Their other covers are just massive lines. The 17 we said, and then a 14-point line. So I mean, I feel like this should be more closer to that. And then you talk about the matchups. They don't have Preston Williams this matchup. They have to run the Bellagio, who is the running backs don't matter, but they do matter if you're Kalen Ballage.
It's just like quarterback though. Like it's like if you have the base, it's like when we talk about wide receivers for fantasy, you got to have that baseline of competency at quarterback. And Brock Osweiler, he's below the line, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what we're seeing with Miami is like Kalen Ballage is below the line of competency at running back. He's like too bad to be like, he actually should affect the line in like a negative sense.
Yeah. The interesting thing about the Bills is like, they do a lot of cool stuff analytically that makes sense. Like they're actually one of the pass heaviest teams on first down. They're among the fewest that run on second long situations. They're doing all these things right. It just really hasn't translated yet. And it's probably because, you know, Josh Allen's deep balls regressed so heavily this season. And there's going to be one of these games where it pops off and he starts hitting some of these deep targets to John Brown. It could be this week against Miami, you know, who he had a good game against, but I'm curious to hear the other side, because I definitely think the other side is viable as well.
So my deal is I actually think the Bills are getting too much respect, and I don't think that the Bills should be favored by a touchdown over any professional team. Josh Allen is just – I guess it is more like Josh Allen could – if you told me he had 110 rushing yards and four touchdowns in this game and didn't turn the ball over once, I'd be like, well, yeah, I mean, that certainly is in his range of outcomes. And if you told me he fumbled twice and missed John Brown wide open down the field twice and threw an interception to a safety that he didn't even see and it was returned for a touchdown, I would believe all of those things. So I think that a super high variance quarterback like Josh, I just don't think that a guy like that who just takes too many chances, I don't think he should be getting that many points.
I'm for it. Like I said, I like the other side a little bit more, but it's down towards the bottom of my ranks. That week, that win last week, the Dolphins had last week, they averaged just 3.69 yards per offensive play.
Oh, the Dolphins are not good. This is not me being like, oh, the Dolphins aren't tanking.
I was just dropping a little nugget that was the second fewest yards per play a team has had in a victory this season.
What was the fewest? Was it the Browns over the Jets?
No, it was actually the New England Patriots against over the Bills.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was the fewest yards
that's
for
pretty
play
good.
In a victory.
Yeah. All right. So my number four selection, and I guess the reason I don't feel good about this is just because the line is – if this was 10, it'd probably be my number three, but the Minnesota Vikings minus 10.5 over the Broncos, I really – yeah. Like I just really wish this number was 10. And I actually think Denver's quite bad and that Brandon mm-hmm. Allen kind of tricked some people because they won that home game against the Browns. Yeah. But I mean, come on people. Brandon Allen is not going to beat the Minnesota Vikings. And I guess one thing I will say is, the Vikings, they started out the year establishing it really, really hard, and they're still going to in this game, but they've been a little bit better about throwing when they're up 10 points. Like that Washington game, you know, they were still throwing a little bit. They were still trying to score points even when, you know, the outcome of that game was not in any doubt at all. And also, I mean, it doesn't hurt that, like, Dalvin Cook has a good success rate. Right, like it doesn't hurt that when they're up 10 points, Dalvin Cook could still score. Like Dalvin Cook can still create value on his own. So, and I also think the Vikings pass defense is not very good, but I don't expect that to really matter that much against the Denver Broncos, like, just because they're just going to be down by so many points.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way to beat the Vikings is with passing offense, and the Broncos don't have a good,
just don't really
offense.
Have it. Yeah. Like they have Sutton and they have a rookie tight end, and like, that's, you know, that's it.
Yeah, and you look at Brandon Allen and his first start, you know, a couple weeks ago before the bye against the Browns, he lived off of two really just tremendous plays. One was that 75-yard catch and run from Noah Fant, which was just
– yeah, they were all created by his pass catchers.
And then Sutton made that ridiculous touchdown.
Yeah, Moss.
Denzel Ward. That was a phenomenal touchdown grab. That actually could, you know, 42% of his fantasy output that game came from that 75-yard catch and score from Noah Fant in that game. But he was just 12 of 20 otherwise, you know, 12 of 20 in that game with those two plays. And, you know, Vikings have really nuked, you know, fledgling quarterbacks, you know, at home. The only exception is really Josh Allen. It's a guy that runs around last year. And they actually have 6 wins by 10 or more points on the season, which is only one fewer than the Patriots. It's second most in the league. So I do like that one as well. I like them to handle business in that one.
Yeah. It did just feel like kind of a situation where, like, come on. It's just the Vikings are the better side. Like the Broncos are a team with historical super wide home road splits too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and there's really hasn't playing the favorites in these situations with these double digit dogs. And we've had the most double digit dogs or double digit favorites or dogs, whatever you want, whatever stance you want to take on it. The most through 10 weeks in a season since 2011. But dogs are only 12 and 10 getting all those points. So nothing really to latch onto there. It's interesting. I just had in an article I just had come out today. And these games have been playing the under in these lines. These games have been extremely fruitful this year. So there's been 22 lines of 10 points or more, you know, favorites or dogs, whichever one stands. And the unders hit 16 to 22 times. Because these totals are coming basically generated not from teams at the top and the bottom of the league, but these teams that are getting these huge favorites are just, their offenses are so bad. Only just one of the 22 dogs in these spots have had a team total over 18.75 points. And 17 of the 22 teams have failed to score 17 points in the games. These teams are just, we've had this really polarizing because of these backup quarterbacks playing. Teams just, some of these teams can't score points in the NFL. And the Broncos, I feel like, are one of these teams. They just can't score. So these unders are hitting because these favorites can't just carry the water themselves. In these games, those favorites are scoring 67% of the points scored in the games, but it's just not enough to get to these game totals, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, there we go. That's why we bring you on the show. We bring you on for those nuggets, man.
Yeah, so
three now.
So my number three, and I hate to do this because it's so chalky and lame and it's such a public play, but it's the Patriots, man.
Yeah, easy money, dude. They're better than the Eagles. Like, come on.
It's 3.5 points, which is wild. I mean, it stinks you don't get the hook, but I don't think you need it. If it's just too low anyways.
If it was 6, you got to think about it, I think.
Yeah. So outside of the game in Baltimore, they've been giving 5.5 points to every other team in the NFL. The Eagles also are bad. Like, they have no offense. Like, their offense is terrible.
Yeah, they're just
probably
not
going to – you're probably not going to have Alshon Jeffrey in this game. Which, you know, whatever, you can say what you want about Alshon Jeffrey, but at least he's better than like the dudes behind him outside Jordan Matthews. You know, they're probably not gonna have Jordan Howard this game. It's just rough. They've actually turned into a power running team recently. You know, they've had a lot of success power running. So they're going to not have Jordan Howard. They're probably going to be playing a lot of two tight end sets. Carson Wentz has really struggled this year, whether you want to tie it into not having DeSean Jackson or what. I mean, he has thrown multiple touchdowns in just one of his past 5 games. He averages 6.9 yards per pass attempt over his past 5 games. Patriots have let him allow a multiple touchdown passer. I just have a hard time seeing where the Eagles score points in this game. And we know that they're going to struggle to defend the pass in this game. So, I mean, 3.5 just feels too low. I hate it. It's a super public play. But I just feel like the line is too low.
No, that was that's actually my same selection. That was going to be my third most confident one as well. And it's basically I don't actually think the Patriots are that good at anything. Like, I think their defense is pretty good. I think their offense is actually going to be a big problem in the playoffs, assuming that they play the Chiefs and the Ravens. That's going to be a big issue for them if they have to score 30. I don't know if they're actually still capable of doing that. Losing Josh Gordon sucked for them, because he was really their only guy who could, like, go out there and create a 70-yard touchdown just out of nothing, because they just don't have that guy anymore. And the Eagles, I don't have a good explanation as to what happened, what became of that team that used to, you know, they threw the ball deep, they went for it on fourth down, they were really aggressive, they called great plays around the goal line. I don't have a good explanation. I don't know if Doug Peterson needed Frank Reich. I don't know if the Nick Foles stuff just kind of ruined whatever it was that Carson Wentz had going in that season where he played like an MVP, but they still get like a point in every game from the public that I don't think they deserve.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at, they have really no quality wins right now either. I mean, they beat Washington in week one. I guess the Packers, maybe a little bit of hindsight involved, but I actually think the Packers are one of those kind of fugazi good teams too, that they don't really have a lot of quality wins. And the teams that
the Packers are going to get just shelled in the playoffs. Like when they play like the Saints, like that, they're just going to get ruined, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Rodgers has been kind of more of a matchup-based, you know, kind of performer this year. And then you'd see they beat the Jets with Luke Falk. They got roasted by the Cowboys. They got roasted by the Vikings. Then they beat the Bills and the Bears, like two teams that struggle to score points. I think Patriots score points. I think the Patriots are definitely in the mid-20s here. And I just don't know how the Eagles get really higher than maybe potentially reaching 20. I don't even think they get to 20.
Yeah. I am definitely with you. So I guess there we go. We had some overlap. We were copacetic for a little bit. What is your second most confident pick? I'm wondering. I hope that we have the same most confident pick, or maybe we're on opposite sides of it.
I think we will have the top one. My second one is another super public team. I hate going back this, but this is another one where the line is too low, and it's the Chiefs, man. It's like a similar situation.
Yeah, this was also my number two.
The Chargers are bad. Like,
are so bad.
Dude, they just made the Oakland Raiders, like, pass rush look like they had Howie Long. Like, everyone is back. They had only allowed the Chargers had only allowed 6 sacks over their previous 5 games. They come and allow 5 sacks to the Raiders. Rivers played bad. I think Rivers will play a little bit better here, and they'll be a little bit more back and forth. But like I said, this line should be higher. And then the Chiefs under Andy Reid, they have just ruled the AFC West. Kansas City has won and covered both of their division games this season. Since 2015, they are 23-3. Straight up against divisional opponents, 18-8 against the spread in those games. Those are both league high marks in divisional play, straight up and against the spread. Over that span, they're 8-1 and straight up, and then 6-2 against the spread against the Chargers. Though one of those losses and failed covers the last time these teams played, last year in that Thursday night game. This feels too loud. It feels like the Chiefs are moving in a way opposite direction. I know some people kind of were trying to get talked back into the Chargers again a little bit. And then last Thursday was kind of a reminder that this really isn't that good of a football team. But 3.5 points, again, is another one where, I mean, I think the Chiefs are definitely in the 30s here. So the Chargers are going to have to really keep pace.
Yeah, this was not that difficult of a decision. And there is like this is definitely – a little bit of a no data take, but the Chiefs have just ran so bad. Like, they have just run so bad in some of these games. And I'm like, you know, they're not going to run this bad all year. You know, like, it's very rare to find a team that just struggles to eventually get to where their expected point differential or how good their offense or their defense is. And the Chiefs offense is second in the NFL in yards per play. Like, it's actually really funny when you look at the two best offenses in terms of yards per play, and they're very similar to, like, the Rams and Chiefs from last year. Their records are nowhere close to what it should be. Like, last year, the Chiefs and Rams ran over everyone, just won all these games, and the Cowboys just took the place for the Rams in terms of yards per play, but they have, like, half as many wins as those teams from last year. So I'm on the Chiefs all the way here. The Chargers suck. Philip Rivers, I think, is very close to just calling it quits. Like, doesn't it just kind of seem like just he's just going to walk off the field one of these games and be like, I'm sick of paying my babysitter $1.2 million a year. I'm just going to go home and figure this out, and I'm not going to play football anymore.
I've always had the running joke that Philip Rivers is by far the worst dude in the NFL you would ever play pickup basketball with. Like, he just ruined the game for you. Like, he just ruined all of the game. Like, you just fight the whole game. He just wreck it for everybody. So, yeah, it's crazy. I do like his little tantrums. They're fun to watch. He had that one last week on Thursday night where he was trying to get that ball snapped, and he's like jumping up and down like a toddler and just like, screaming his head off. He's hilarious in that regard. He always does something in one of these games. The one where he punched his glove, and the Titans game where he kicked that football. Remember they tried the lateral to him, and he was like, nah, I'm not doing this.
It just he's like, it. Oh, no, that? Actually, that's, I'm not interested.
That's one of my favorite plays ever in the history of the NFL. Like, he was just like, nah, I'm not picking this ball up, guys.
Yeah. Philip Rivers, man. Things you love to see are definitely him throwing temper tantrums. So there we go. We are aligned just two of the big chalk plays of the day.
Public donkeys.
Yeah. Oh man. Just eating that chalk good and good and hard. Okay. So our number one selection. I am thinking we're gonna be on the same side, but maybe not. Yeah. What's your number one pick?
It is. It's gonna be the Cardinals.
No.
It's not?
Well, because the number's different now.
Oh, it's still, as long as it's 10, I'm cool.
Oh, I bet it on Monday at 13.5, but yeah, I don't want to tout it at 10.
I would go to 10. Under single digits, I think, is where I would break. 10 up to 10, down to 10 is where I would go. I just figured you had like a royalty or you had to mention the Cardinals once per show here on this one. But I mean, you look at this game. I mean, the 49ers are so banged up. They've got so many injuries everywhere. Looks like Kittle's not going to play. Emmanuel Sanders, true game time decision. They really struggled to move the football once Emmanuel Sanders left that game. Their receivers aren't good. I know DFS, it's like a hot play for Deebo Samuel. I actually have concerns like when a guy is the only option in the passing game, because we've seen that really falter a few times this year for plays. You think of Michael Gallup, like after Amari left the Jets game, Evan Ingram that week that they played the Bills when everyone was out and everyone was on him. It's just when these teams, you have a rookie wide receiver in Deebo Samuel, if he's forced to be like the guy that carries the passing game. Patrick Peterson has not played well this year, but like I'll still take Patrick Peterson over rookie wide receiver, like to be able to do well and get the advantage of him. So I don't know if the 49ers pass the ball as well here as they could. Hopefully Emmanuel Sanders plays that moves the line a little bit, or moves the needle a little bit for them. They've got no Matt Breida, no Joe Staley. He didn't play in the first matchup anyways. Quan Alexander played in this first matchup for three quarters. And then I also just really like what Kliff Kingsbury did in the second half of this game against the 49ers, one where they were getting 10 points and lost by three. He actually, with no joke, a lie, like used the horizontal raid effectively. Like they went full horizontal raid. No player on the Cardinals when these teams played last time had over 30 air yards. But in the second half of that game, so they came out and went no huddle for 75% of their second half plays. They had drives of 88, 85, and 88 yards on the 49ers. The 49ers were gassed. Like, they were running them down the field, spreading them out with tempo, and the 49ers had no answer. So I think we'll see something similar to that again. I mean, and this is also Kliff's first rematch versus a team. So I'm really curious to see what he can do against the team that he's played twice, see what how he adjusts. Because I will say, like, coaching-wise, Kliff has been fine. He's done a lot of things schematically that have been good. He just needs a game management, dude.
He needs someone to just tell him, dude, you have Kyler Murray. It's fourth and one. Just, like, come – like, please. We are begging you, Kliff. Come on.
And he does stuff like when these two teams played in that Thursday night game 2 weeks ago where he has a timeout and the 49ers – very clearly, like, have to make a decision to either go for this fourth down play or just kick a field goal. And he has no interest in, like, saving 50 seconds of game clock. He's just like, whatever. And just is, like, sitting on this timeout. And it's like, Kliff, what are you doing? What is happening? So he definitely needs some game. He needs a game management dude, for sure. But he's done a lot of positive things, I think, schematically. And I think that adjustment he made against the 49ers in that game 2 weeks ago was a real positive sign. It stinks that they blew it last week and it was Kyler's fault. I was a real bummer that it was Kyler's fault last week.
Was it his fault?
Yeah, he threw that interception. They're going up 10 points.
The interception his fault though?
Yeah, didn't
Fitzgerald I don't remember which wide receiver it was, but didn't they stop short or keep like I feel like that pick was not his fault.
To me, I don't know. I'm not one of these PFF graders. I thought he left it short. Like I thought it was a similar play like Russ had in overtime against the 49ers where he just left it short.
I'm unwilling to say it's his fault. Let's just say it was like an organizational failure.
I respect that, man. But I would take this to 10, though.
So I just don't have this because like when I bet a line early in the week and then I come to do my stuff on Friday, like I'm not touting a stale line that I bet on Monday to people. Like it just so, and
super contest line is still 11.
11 I do like, but my number one pick, and I'm kind of bummed out on you. It's Baltimore -4.
Oh man, I'm sorry. I'm betting over in this game. I will tell you guys. Right
yeah,
now, I'm betting
the over is really good, and here's why: it's Baltimore. Baltimore had a bad defense all year, like not a good defense, and they were still just like hanging brain on these teams. And the offense we know is super good, but what we really haven't seen is we haven't seen Lamar in a shootout yet. We've seen him trailing. We've seen him, you know, up by a ton. And I think that Harbaugh has some stuff saved for, okay, this game we got to score 40. I think they have some stuff left for that. But also, if we're just looking at quarterbacks and in terms of per play efficiency, I would probably take Lamar over anyone else because incompletions for other quarterbacks, risky passes for other quarterbacks, those just turn into 4-yard gains with him. And in a game like this where I expect both offenses to play better than both defenses. And I actually think that Houston's offensive line is going to be a big problem in this game too. You know, if they're down, just it's very hard for the Texans to play down 10 points because their offensive line is so bad that like 5-man rushes are it's just devastating for them. Like the fact that a 5-man rush puts Watson under pressure like every time is pretty brutal. And you know, more than anything, like I just think that Lamar is worth more points than this. My overarching take is that like people in the world, the Vegas models, these sharps that are pounding these lines that really create the lines. By the time we get them here, I think Lamar is probably worth a point more than he is being given by the market right now.
See, I love though that this goes against one of my betting thing, like one of my betting niches I've had.
Okay, what's the rule? What am I breaking?
I usually always bet Deshaun Watson getting more than a field goal because he's been awesome as a dog.
Yeah, I mean that's a good rule. So like, if your rule is I think this quarterback is elite, if this quarterback is getting more than a field goal, that's an insta bet.
That's why my play is I'm playing the game total in this game because I think that I've almost always bet Deshaun Watson getting, but I'm like you, like I feel all the same things you do about Lamar Jackson and then
for Deshaun
and how they run it. Well, no, how you said like why you believe in the Ravens and them covering. Yeah. I actually believe all those things. That's why I want to play the game total a little bit more. And I actually do believe also in the tide turning on their defense. They faced Russ, man. Russ looked awful against the Ravens.
Yeah.
Like horrible. Like he completed 48% of his passes. It was a joke in that game. Like Russ hasn't looked like that. Like, you know, that's what's crazy. I think it's a hot take to have Russell Wilson as your MVP right now. I know it goes against like everything that's going on.
Oh, well here, the people who are on like NFL Network, I think their rankings are Russ, Lamar, Rodgers, CMC. Those guys are
an absolute ludicrous. Like Rodgers rolled like the Raiders. Like Rodgers was like mediocre.
Rodgers had 5 touchdowns in one game, and everyone lost their minds
against the Raiders. Everyone just went crazy, which is not something that Christian McCaffrey don't need to really address. But you look at Russ, man. I mean, like he's been just okay the past month. Like he's really just been okay.
Oh, he nuked the Buccaneers. That's where a lot of it's coming from.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And like you and I know, because you know from our fantasy backgrounds, like that's a matchup. Like when he hits there, like we expected him to do that. Like same thing. Like when Rodgers roasted the Raiders. Like Yeah, okay. Now, but like we're looking for, you know, we're looking for things like Lamar Jackson. Like Lamar Jackson has a signature performance already on his belt. He took a pelt. He took Tom Brady's pelt and put it on his wall. Bill Belichick's pelt. And just, dude, they crushed that game. That game was never even in question.
Like, no, that game was uncompetitive. Yeah.
But, you know, they go into Seattle. He's got Russell Wilson's pelt. Heads up. The MVP, like, heads up, he outplayed Russell
Wilson.
Lamar
to me is the MVP. Then there's a gap. Then there's Russ and Dak. Then there's another gap. And there's Watson for me right after those guys.
Yeah, but so Watson in his career getting more than a field goal is
I bet it's 7-2. Crazy.
7-2 yeah. Against spread. I respect him almost just as much, you know, like when, cause when they play in these games as dogs, you know what happens is Bill O'Brien has to get out of his own way. They don't give
Carlos Hyde. Yeah.
Yeah. He's forced to get out of his own way and play the offense through Deshaun Watson, who is incredible. And you look at Deshaun Watson too, his career splits against the blitz are just phenomenal. And who blitzes at the highest rate in the league? Baltimore Ravens. So Watson for his career is 71% completion rate, 106 quarterback rating, 8.7 yards per attempt against the blitz. So you've got all these, they play a lot of man now that they've got all these DBs that are healthy. So if you're going to blitz, not only does you play a quarterback that beat you in the blitz, but when you blitz a mobile quarterback, get some big gains, some gashes with Sean using his legs. It's kind of why I said I'm going to play the game total here. I definitely agree with all your takes on the Ravens side, though. Absolutely.
Yeah, it is gonna be a great game.
I love this game, man. Yeah. It's a tough year for like white dudes watching football, man.
Oh yeah, I mean, just like except for the thing is that a lot of old dudes that watch old white guys who watch football, they're Cowboys fans, and so they're gonna walk that division basically. Like they're 5-4 right now, and they're like 70% to win the division, which is very funny. Eagles. Yeah. And the Eagles are about to take, they're going to lose this week, and the Cowboys are going to get a win this week, and that's just going to be how things go. All right, man. No pressure, but these picks better hit. You got to keep your record going. We got to get you at like an 80% clip on this show.
I hope it has. It means that hopefully I'm not due for that negative variance yet to run cold because I took some interesting ones this week.
All right, so plug Sharp Football, man.
Yeah, Sharp Football Analysis. We're racing down to the end of the season. Definitely go there. I'm involved, you know, mostly on the fantasy side, but I do dabble a little bit into helping on the player props and the betting side as well. So definitely go and check us out for the end of the season. We do, you know, weekly, monthly packages, the rest of the season deals going on. So definitely, you know, go to the site, hit the links. You know, good luck this week.
All right, man. Everyone check out Sharp Football. Check out rotoexperts.com. Get my picks posted up there every week. All my fantasy content there as well. DailyRoto.com for all of your DFS needs. And we will be back with the Gilcast on Sunday night.